The real estate market is booming. Whether you look in the suburbs or the city, Chicago continues to expand, creating incredible opportunities for those in the know. We'll connect with Chicago's real estate moguls to bring you the wisdom and expertise to help make your next real estate move a lucrative one on the Real Estate Moguls Podcast.
How you guys doing? I'm Tony Arce, and this is the Real Estate Moguls Podcast. Today, I'm joined by loan consultant Bill Pendley. Bill, thanks for being here, brother.
Hey, thank you for having me. It's you're an inspiration to me, so let's just be honest.
Well, I appreciate it. It's very flattering. But no, you're doing great things. And start telling me a little bit about you just in terms of real estate, because you're not the traditional loan consultant, mortgage lender that just focuses on one particular thing. You're helping realtors on two real levels, right?
Yeah. I mean, I could bore you with all the details of how I got in the business, but
we're gonna get there. So don't worry.
All right. Well, we got a ton of time here. Okay. No. So recently, probably in the last 5 years, I picked up a drone, and so that's created a lot of relationships that I didn't realize were even gonna come from that. It just started out as a hobby at first.
Oh no way.
Yeah. So I was bored with the industry, and there's a lot of compliance, so paperwork and me just don't jive.
Yeah.
You know, and so I was working with a bank at the time, so there's a whole different level of compliance when it comes to banking. So I picked up a drone as a hobby, and I just use it as more of a therapeutic way to get out and take some pictures and videos of some cool landscape. And then next thing you know, I was introduced to a photographer, Portraits of Home, which she's amazing real estate photography. So, and I just asked her, do you need a drone guy? And she goes, actually, yes. And I'm like, oh gosh. Okay. So that's, put me right in front of somebody that I don't know anything about that world, but I would be willing to do whatever you need me to do. So she hired me out, just kind of a one or two times trial basis, and she liked what she saw. And so next thing you know, I started meeting agents while I was doing this, and I call it getting paid to do sales calls.
Yeah.
It was awesome. So, and all I did was just shoot the pictures, and Portraits worked the back end with the editing. So that's where you really saw the magic happen. But what it did for me is it created relationships with real estate agents. And I thought it was a brilliant thing that kind of, I didn't even realize I was even going down that path, but the last probably 2 years of the mortgage business blew up because of it. And
wow.
So this little piece, this little technology, little kind of fun hobby that started out as something I had no idea was going to, develop relationships, create a space in a different world.
Yeah.
So
it seems like, you're kind of a living testament to the fact that when you do something out of a passion or out of love or just a hobby like that, where you're trying to explore something and not because you're doing it for financial gain, that the financial gain comes along with that.
Right.
That's pretty awesome. And, one of the things that you'd mentioned before that your wife gave you a shirt for Father's Day, right? And it said loans and drones, right?
Yes.
So tell me about why that was important to put loans before drones.
I started getting a lot of calls just for the drone stuff, and I go, oh my gosh, okay, I love doing it, but it doesn't pay the bills.
Yeah.
No offense to all any photographers or drones out there, guys out there, but what I was using it for was just, like I said, it started out as a hobby, but it started taking off, no pun intended, to a different level, and it was taking away from the mortgage business. So I had to back off. And I remember one very successful guy said, listen, if you're going to, I said, is it possible to run two businesses at the same time? He goes, yes, but you'd never want to let the one that's paying the bills, get replaced by the other one that isn't.
Right.
So what happened there was I go, very easy. I'm a very simple-minded person. So for me, bullet points helps, So he basically made it very easy for me to say, okay, this business is actually taking the way, getting in the way of the other business that actually pays the bills. So it was a very good accessory to the other business, but you got to also set boundaries.
For sure.
And so what I did is I go, okay, I need to make sure people know what I do when I go out with a drone. The thing that actually pays my bills is a loan. So if you want me to help you, I can help you on both both areas.
And how has that been received when you do meet with realtors for the first time under those pretenses?
Yeah, at first I was a little intimidated because I thought they were going to be like, oh, you're using this as a way to get in to talk to me about mortgages and then sell me every time you see me.
And that's what you were thinking was going to happen.
That's what I was thinking was going to happen. Sure. But then, you know, obviously anytime you know, if you know how to sell, it's not necessarily pushing people, you know, to close on the first meeting. It's kind of a dating relationship. So, hey, listen, just so you know, this is what I do. And I've got a lot of agents that haven't used me as a loan guy, but at the same time, they know what I do. And so I just put it out there as a little carrot. If they want to use it, then they know that I'm there, you know, and I'll try my best to help them on the other piece too.
What has worked best for you in terms of being able to, because I think that's one of the most challenging things is not pigeonholing yourself into being seen as just this one thing, right? So when you show up and, oh, it's a drone guy, that's Bill the drone guy. You're like, oh,
yeah,
no.
I know. Right.
So how long does it take usually for someone to be receptive to that? And because I know loyalty is such a big thing in the real estate world that, you know, it's hard to make those relationships.
Right. I think, I've had it from both sides. I've had people that kind of use it as a way to kind of check out and see what I'm doing. Like
who you are.
Yeah, who I am, you know. And it's funny to say that because I just received a call from a lady the other day she knows me, but didn't realize, I did a big presentation for her office. And she calls me right afterwards. Hey, I got a question on this and on this program that you put out there. And I go, do you remember who I was, right? And she goes, what do you mean? I go, I was the guy that was the drone guy that was helping you out last year on all your properties. I said, you have an amazing deal. You have amazing properties. And she goes, oh my gosh, that was you? I'm like, yes, loans and drones, not drones and loans, remember, you know? So it was awesome. And so, but I've also had it from the other side where, you know, I met somebody in the first time and we connected and next thing you know, boom. We're doing deals on a mortgage level.
That's awesome.
And so it just depends on who the person is, you know?
Would you say that's, I mean, for the most part, like your number one marketing tool? In terms of the realtors, like connecting with realtors?
Yeah, I think like anything else, it morphs. Like what you were talking about with your business, right? Yeah. I mean, it's, with especially when you throw the pandemic in there, things are constantly evolving and they're changing. So what happened was that was the perfect accessory to my business to get right in front of agents. But now as things are moving forward, I'm kind of pulling back the reins a little bit on that piece. And I'm going into more of a branding on social media. And like I said, I'm your inspiration to me and what you're doing. And so this is why we're talking. I love meeting people like yourself that are like-minded, that know, kind of get it, you know, and that's where I'm at right now is a whole different branding piece that I'm putting on social media to exploit the fact that loans is my main piece of income, but I do have this other piece that goes along with it.
For sure. And, you know, one of the things you mentioned before is just that you're this carefree guy, right?
Yeah.
And you have just, I think that's part of your brand too, right? That personal brand of who you are and like your character and how you show up for people. How do you even get into the mortgage business being, you know, that kind of carefree spirited, you know, guy.
When I was 10, no.
He had posters of famous loan officers on your wall.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's, well, my brother, so I don't know if I told you this, but my brother was, he's 13 years older than me.
Okay.
So his name's David Penley, so I'll give him a little kudos there. But he was in the business before I was.
Oh, okay.
So he had been doing this for, you know, in the 80s. And so I came out of college in 1998. And I didn't know anybody out here in Chicago. I'm originally from Michigan. So I came out here and interviewed with a few different companies, CDW, some saw company that, I mean, it was just crazy just to see all the different industries I was kind of touching to see what I wanted to do. And I always went back to real estate or mortgages. And just seeing what he had gone through, I'm like, okay, that's the type of person I want to be. So let's start there. So then, but I knew I didn't want to work with him because I didn't want the family thing. And so I went to a company called Crown Mortgage. And, you know, I remember walking in the first day and just getting blasted by the first guy that saw me. He looked at me. I'm in a nice brand new suit. And he goes, hey, you, calls me right across the office. Get over here.
This is like walking on your first day?
Yeah, walking my first day. And I'm like, what? Like, and I had this baby face. I had hair at the time. And he goes, you know that you got to cut that thing off of, like, I had the suit kind of like, whatever you call it, the tag.
The tag on the sleeve.
Yeah. He goes, you know you got to take that off, right? And I'm like, oh, gosh. What are you, like, and then I told everybody about it. They're just cracking up at me on it.
So we've come a long way.
yeah. So that was a starting point of, like, really getting hard-nosed, like, sales and, you know, what it's like to kind of get in with these seasoned loan officers.
Yeah.
So fast forward, I was there for about a year being an assistant, learning through, you know, a branch manager at the time. And then after that, rates went up. So then I got laid off. I got canned.
Oh, wow.
So I got fired. And I'm like, oh, gosh. It was like heartbreaking.
How long did you spend there?
So I was a little over a year.
Okay.
You know? And that was when rates, believe it or not, were at, like, we had a nice refinance boom at 6.5%.
Jeez.
So they went down from 7.5%, from 7.5% down to 6.5%. So that's the first experience I saw with refinancing, but I was still an assistant.
Mm-hmm.
So when it was time for me to kind of get out on the street, rates went up to 8.5%. And all of a sudden, all you see is just dust balls. And of course, I took the tag off my suit, of course, but
you didn't return it at that
point. No, I didn't.
You're return it. Well, maybe I can get some, you know, a few bucks back for this.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So even the thing you said that you had tried out, you know, some podcast and production or whatever, yeah. And you got discouraged. You know, you're like, I'm not going to do this anymore. I mean, you stuck with this. It's not like you gave up on it. What was going through your head back then that made you stick out in those tough times?
Yeah, I think there's about three or four different times in my career that there were pivotal times. And I think there were surrender moments, like, okay, is this what I'm called to do?
Yeah.
And it always led back into, yes, it is. And I don't know why, you know, but I remember one time on a Friday night, I didn't have any loans, and this is after came over to my brother's company right after Crown, and he gave me like 2 months of a draw. And I didn't have any money at all. And I just bought a car, just bought a condo. So I'm freaking out.
Jeez.
And Friday night I was on Monster Board back in the day and looking at different companies. And then I was at a crossroads. Is this what I need to be doing? And I went up to, Promise Keepers up in Wisconsin, and all of a sudden came back
What's Promise Keepers?
Promise Keepers is like it was Bill McCarthy, I think his name is Bill McCarthy, but it was a Colorado Buffalo football coach that created this, like, men's conference. You know, it was a Christian men's conference that they had, and they literally, like, you all get together for a weekend and you cry on each other's shoulders. And
oh, no way.
And this, you know, it was kind of one of those things where it was kind of a crossroad moment for me.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I've heard of something like called the Crucible Project.
Yeah.
Something similar to it?
Okay. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think it's kind of evolved into a couple different, you know, things. But
yeah, yeah.
Been to a couple of them, and that was one of those moments where I just remember listening to a guy named Josh McDowell, and just there was like that
moment. I know Josh McDowell.
Yeah?
I have his book.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Like Case for Christ or something?
Yeah. Case for Christ?
Or no, or Evidence, or something about Evidence? Josh McDowell, I think I heard him speak at...
More Than a Carpenter is one of them.
Okay.
He's a great youth...
Incredible story.
Yeah.
He's got an incredible, incredible story. But didn't he set out to disprove the Bible?
That was, I think that was Lee Strobel.
They're friends, aren't they?
Yeah, they're both friends.
Yeah, I saw Josh McDowell speak at... Willow Creek.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, not to go too off it, but so you went on this retreat and you know, heard what you heard and it inspired you.
And then I think, like, that was a surrender moment for me where I go, okay, well, I don't, like, I can't control this. So Monday rolls around, all of a sudden I had two deals on my desk that got me through to the next month. Next month I had four deals. Next month I had six. And then before you know it, in a half a year, I made more money than I was at the whole year at Crown.
What?
You know? So it was like, it was an amazing kind of moment in my life where it goes, okay, there's something to be said with walking with your hands open, you know, as you're going through life and not holding on tightly to anything.
Yeah.
And that was one of those moments where I was like, pivotal moment, boom, okay, this is where I need to be for right now. And now 22 years later, that's where I'm still doing it. But I would say probably in the last 2 years, that hunger has come back. You know, it started with the drones, and then all of a sudden, the relationships that I have with these agents, it's been just remarkable, you know. And I'm just loving the fact that you got real estate agents out there that are hustling in a pandemic world where you can't really be interacting as normal as you used to.
For sure.
That they're out hustling. And so I try my best on my end to try to be an extension of any of their service.
That's amazing. What an incredible story, first of all. But I'm actually, you know, curious with the mindset, because you talk about hustling, and I've used that word, you know.
Yeah.
I love using that word.
Right.
And you can see people hustling and working hard, but it sometimes comes from either a different motivation or just this mindset or, you know, an ulterior motive, whatever it is. Right? Hustle can be hustle and you can see it, but what's the intent behind it? Where's your heart at? Right.
Right.
What changed for you in that time where, one, obviously, you know, you started to receive the benefit of being this way or thinking this way, or, you know, just a new mindset, but how is that translated into who you are and what you bring to the table in terms of how you see relationships, how, you know, with your, as you mentioned, with your client and being a service or an extension of what they offer? How has that changed for you that has made you the man you are today?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so basically what you're asking is what's your why, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, my why right now is my family. You know, I have a little 2-year-old daughter at home, and she just, every time I see her, she's starting to talk. So she's waking up in the morning going, dada, dada. I'm like, yeah. Oh my gosh, like, come on. Like, those are things. And then my wife at home is, she's not working. So I got mouths to feed, and that's where I take things a little bit more. I'd probably take things a little bit more personal than I probably should in some cases.
Mm.
But that's my why, and that's my drive, you know. And so when I get out and meet with people, I put on that game face, and I'm like, hey, listen, I'm here to help you.
Yeah.
Because I think there's two types of people in this world. You got the takers, and you got the givers.
Yep, absolutely, 100%. 100%.
So when I'm out there on the street level and I'm talking to people, I don't want to sound like I'm taking things. I want to add value.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not adding value, then what's your worth in their eyes? Because they're out hustling. Like, and I go back to real estate agents right now, they are out hustling probably harder than most of us because they have to be in front of people. Like, that's their livelihood.
Yep.
And so I can just kick back, you know. on a awesome podcast.
Right.
No, I mean, but like behind a computer, I don't have that interaction. I can do everything via Zoom, but they're showing houses. They have to go into these areas. And some of the agents, I've heard like some awesome, amazing stories of creativity and, you know, how they're working around this whole pandemic. And it's just amazing to me. So I'm inspired by what they're doing and really making their living throughout one of the toughest times in our lives, you know?
Well, I think you need to look in the mirror, brother, because you're doing some amazing things too. So, and it's just the way you are, the way you show up, I think is so important. You know, that's what this world needs more of is people who give, right? And servants, not just takers, like you said. And unfortunately, we do see a lot of that, right?
Yeah, right.
But, so as far as, you know, the business itself, I mean, it's not a coincidence that you have a 2-year-old daughter and you've gotten hungry over the last 2 years, right?
Right.
How is that hunger translator manifesting, you know, into the business? Like, where do you see this with loans and drones? Like, I guess what's the picture kind of moving forward, the vision?
Yeah, that's a great question too. I would say moving forward, and I always look at that too. I look at past, present, and future. And when people are needing to write a letter of explanation for what's going on with their, you know, credit or what's going on with their finances to an underwriter, I always go, you know, take it from past, present, future. So past, I was in a single mindset, really didn't have to work for anybody. So I was just kind of, you know, keeping my own pace and doing what I wanted to do. Now things have, you know, have changed. And so as I look forward, you know, and part of that's coming over to Caliber Home Loans. When I came over to Caliber Home Loans, they invested in who I was and they saw what I am. And what I am is more of a interaction, like a salesperson. I hate to even say salesperson.
Relationship,
right? So they knew that the best thing they could do is support me on the back end with the admin piece and the support with the underwriting and processing.
The stuff and, which seems like you don't like. You
know, yeah,
like, I don't like that stuff.
No. Like, this is like, I'm like in my space right now. I love it. So like, if I can be in front of people, and that's, I just, like you said earlier, just show up.
Yeah.
That's what I went through, is just be in front of people. If I can be in front of people and build those relationships and get them to like me, which I think that was that's an easy, you know, easy thing to do mm-hmm. for me. But the hard part is the admin piece. So they've created that. And so I'm just building on that. And one of the things I want to do is build that brand, which I'm loving what you have going on and seeing what you're doing. And that's where I'm totally kind of focused right now, is building a brand that is different. So they always say, like, you know, you listen to Keller Williams, they have a platform there. And they always say, don't try to reinvent the wheel. You can take a template, which they have a great template, and not to just erase it, but you want to add to it. And that's mm-hmm. what I'm doing with Caliber, is they have a great digital application piece. They have a great support system. They want to create that sales type of environment for their salespeople. So they're allowing us to go and have the freedom to get out in front of people. And that's, you know, I'm just taking it from my own angle and trying a different piece.
No, good for you. And as far as the branding, I mean, I think you're doing great things with it, only because I hear that you're playing to your strengths. And that's something that I think, I mean, you hear it so often, especially if you're not a marketer, you know, then give it to somebody else, right? Focus on the thing that you're really good at, and right. you'll see that things come from that. And so I think already, you know, off the top, you're doing something pretty amazing. But as far as that brand, like, yeah, you think you pretty much nailed it, where, you know, you're trying to be that relationship person, right? Mm-hmm. And so how do you, just to kind of go back to that question with loans and drones, you know, is the drones still a huge part of that? You know, what is, how do those two play together in your mind in the future?
Yeah, I think there'll always be a place for it. And I think part of it's just because I have so much respect for the person that allowed me the opportunity, which is Rachel Ormond. So she was mm-hmm. the person that really kind of started that piece, and I got to give her kudos for that. So, like, I'm not gonna discount, like, the fact that she said, "Hey, you got somebody over here that needs a drone shoot." I'm like, "I'll do it."
Yeah,
you know,
no, that's awesome.
And you know, obviously with anything, like, she asked if I could go out to Apple River, which is like 2.5 hours away. I'm like,
"Is that Wisconsin?"
Yeah, close. Oh. I mean,
Apple was in Illinois.
Yeah, okay. I think so. Yeah, it's all by Galena, I think.
Oh, okay.
Apple Canyon, one of the places out there. I knew where it was, yeah, but yeah. I'm like, yeah, I'd love to go out there, but it's not going to be in the cards right now. So I said, yeah. You know, even and so what I also have done too is I have of course you crash drones, right? So I crashed a couple of drones, and I gave one of my backup drones to another guy. So mm-hmm. he's got his license, so he helps me out as well too. So if I can't do it, I got a backup drone guy that'll go out and do it. He does a great job.
Okay.
So yes, there will be a place for it. I'm not taking that out of the business. I think that's a huge deal. But at the same time, I have to set boundaries as well too.
Well, no, for sure. You absolutely do. And it divides your time. You can't be that servant you want to be, or that helpful person if you know, you're doing everything, right? You have to mm-hmm. specialize in those things. And I think, you know, you're doing a great job of that. So, and with that being said, Bill, I just want to thank you for coming in. But if you're listening and Bill, someone that you want to connect with, there's a form below. You can contact him directly. But again, just Bill, I'm excited for everything going on in your professional life, but also family life as well. Exciting things. So again, thank you for coming in.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.